There's nothing to fix. Nothing to do. Nothing needs to be better, nicer, more of a certain way. All that stuff is just thoughts. No need to take any interest in it. How things are is just fine. And rest. Rest on the inside. Even if life was to stop right now, this was to be the end of your incarnation, it would be okay. Because that faculty who wants to control would stop. Then there'd be nothing within you who needed it to be different to how it is. Don't be bothered with that faculty that wants things to be different. It's of no use except to distract. Nothing to achieve, no place to go. Let it be all over. And rest. And if you can, see if you can leave part of your awareness within you. And engage just enough attention to be able to connect with what's going on in the room. Try not to let yourself jump out into what's going on in the room. As if you can make your energy stand back a bit. Stay on the inside. And just enough to engage can come up. Retain that sense of a connection to that still place of rest within. And bring just a little bit of attention back into the room. When you open your eyes, try not to jump out to what you see. Just let seeing happen. Let it be soft. Not a controlling thing, not am I doing it right? None of that is a bother. Let's just see what happens. Whatever way it happens is fine. It's fine. Hi, welcome. This is the chair. Yeah. Hi, what's your name?
Jyoti.
Jyoti. And your name?
Martin.
Martin. Check it. Okay. Okay, welcome everybody. Okay. I bought this gadget yesterday, and so I'm recording what's going on here, so that if you want a copy, let me know afterwards, and I'll run them off and send them down to Antoine, whatever, if you, because you will forget everything that happened here, and it's more than likely. So if you're like, gosh, I could do it a reminder of that, you might find something, some use in it. So let me know after how many we need, or you can tell me, Anthony, at some point. People are interested, or yeah, exactly. Just a bit of admin. So that's what this is all. Okay, but ignore it now. Okay, so it's satsang. It's first satsang for a good few people. Dennis was saying. Yeah, for you guys, no, you've been to satsang before.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, in general, yeah, not specifically in Ireland with anybody, but
okay.
In general. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm going to give a brief rundown because there's a few people who haven't been to satsang before, so just to pull it all together, not to lose anybody. I suppose traditionally it's satsang just means a spiritual gathering, and it's generally where it used to be in silence, and then the old Western mind wants to work things out, and we've got questions about and why things like that happen, you know, in our psyche. And so satsang became about talking and asking questions. And so the Western style of satsang is always about talking. So here we are talking. But we can sit in silence too. It is said that the deeper understanding comes in the silence. But if this is yapping all the time, then, you know, then let's deal with that. Okay? So in this work of talking about non-duality, what we're talking about, I suppose, is pointing to what you are, pointing to the what's underneath all. It's not a new age theory. It's not a particular philosophy that originated anywhere. It's a knowing that arises from within you. There is nothing I can tell you today that you can't find out for yourself. I've nothing to give you. Nothing. But all I can do is point you towards what you are. Point you towards the truth. Test everything. Everything. Check it out for yourself. Don't go down the route of giving your power into, but she said, or he said, or I read. You check it for yourself. Does this feel right? Check it out. Because at this stage of the spiritual journey, when satsang has pulled you in, then for sure, you're going to have to be your own guru. For sure, there's something there at like, you know, the outside world doesn't really do it anymore. It doesn't quite just do it. No matter what, if I get the right lover, the right house, the right job, live in the right place, there's still something missing. Aha, now we're talking about the truth underneath it all. Now that pull is there. To what is really going on anyway? And what really is underneath? Sure, I can say, look this and look at this and look at this. But you have to check it out for yourself. If you take anything I say, it will be a concept and you will be in your head about it. And that tends to be the problem of the whole universe, is believing our thoughts. Believing thoughts, that is the root of all suffering. It's all about me and mine and my life and my needs and my desires and my opinions and my preferences and my. It goes on forever, and it will go on forever. Mind does that. But this is about, hey, you're not your mind, actually. You have thoughts. Thoughts pass by. Do you want to make them yours? Or do you want to let them just pass by? Because it's something in the region of like 90,000 thoughts come to your mind every day. 60,000 of them are the same as yesterday. Do you know? It's like a lot of head wrecking, no? That's the average frequency of thoughts that's been scientifically documented. It's a lot of thoughts. And so you might believe maybe 10,000 of them. But the rest of them just go by like the radio was on or whatever. Not noticed, not noticed, not noticed. The ones you believe are shaping your experience of life. And so that's why we do healing work and why we kind of unpack our conditioning and do all that. Just to unfold, is that really true? What I believe there, was that just an experience? Was that somebody else's belief that I took on? And all that happens in the healing industry. Now what I'm talking about is after that. After that. When you know you're okay and you've kind of unpacked enough to be able to function okay, well enough in life. After that. Now what are you? Now what are you when you know you're okay and it's still not good enough? And that's what this is about. It's about finding out, well, what are the tricks that mind is playing? Because if you believe you are an individual, if you believe you are separate from other people, if you believe those things, well, you know, you're believing a dream. It's not the truth. So I'm saying, hey, look, really check it out. Are you separate from anything? Is there a you apart from your thoughts? And that's what this is about. To give pointers towards what is beyond your mind. Bit of a long introduction, but does it make any sense? Mm-hmm. Makes a bit of sense? Okay. Okay. So we usually just kind of talk. Ask a question if you have a question. If not, I'll wrap it on and we're able to wrap it on. But if you've got a question, let's go for it.
There's something about, you know, striving, you know, and going out. So, like even coming here, coming to satsang, like we're going out.
Mm.
And just collapsing that, you know, not making effort.
Mm.
You know, we're kind of so programmed that there are things that we have to do to be okay, you know. Which is all bunkum, it's all rubbish really, but it's crazy, it's just all crazy, you know, it's just crazy. But, you know, like, you know, even as I say it, I can feel all those concepts just loosening and disintegrating for myself, but there's still these kind of threads to them that are still kind of knocking around there a bit. So, you know, the ego constantly trying to grasp at something to define itself.
Yes.
That I'm this.
Yes.
You know, I'm this collection of dysfunctionality or functionality.
Yes.
You know, and just the holding on and not being willing to surrender it or something. Or even the thought that somehow I'm doing something wrong, or that one seems to be a very subtle thing with me, that it shouldn't be like this, or, you know, those subtle type of things. I shouldn't think this thought, maybe. Mm. Or, whereas the thought is nothing. As you say, the thought is just something passing through consciousness. It's not my thought. And just not, it's nothing to do with me.
Yes, no, it's nothing to do with you. Thoughts have nothing to do with what you are. Nothing.
Yeah.
But the ego makes them mine, and bingo.
Yeah.
It feels like it's your thought on you. Off you go into a story.
So do you have any desires?
No.
But what about when you're hungry or thirsty? The body has those desires, okay?
I suppose needs get taken. Hi. Do you want to sit in someplace?
There's a chair here.
Yeah, there's a chair.
I'm fine.
If you're okay, but move if you're uncomfortable, okay?
I have cushions just to
hold. Yeah. There is no personal I. Mm-hmm. There is no sense of I am hungry, I whatever. There's no sense that it's my body. Do you know? But yet eating happens. It's like there's a fluidity around what happens, whether it's eating or whether it's being sick. Do you know what I mean? If it's eating something nice or if it's feeling nauseous. There's nothing that registers, I like this, I don't like this. So functioning happens just fine without those things. But the mind will say, if I had no desire, I'd never think of eating. Not true. Funnily enough, not true. But the mind will say that in order to perpetuate itself. In order to keep you owning your thoughts and owning your desires. It's a trick. That's a trick of the mind to keep itself alive. But funnily enough, that which puts you here kind of takes care of you. It's all you anyway. Do you know? There's nothing, there's no thing out there and you here. But whatever puts food into your mouth every day will do it regardless of the desire. But if there's no food there, it's all right too. It's funny, there's no preference running. So there's no I need to. It's the I disappears.
So, since there's no I, would you have an ideal state for the world?
No. Isn't it perfect as it is?
Right. But if everybody behaved like you did,
yes,
who'd plough the fields?
The very same functioning would happen in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The very same, the fields would be ploughed and children would be brought to school on the bus.
Yeah.
The very same functioning would happen. But there is no ownership that I'm the bus driver going to school.
Yeah.
It's the ownership is what gives rise to the suffering.
The bus has been driven to school.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he who would be driving the bus or she would be doing it perfectly without the I am the one. There's a thought superimposed upon an action which is happening beautifully.
Yeah. No, I fully understand.
Yeah.
So indeed, if you were an artist, you would paint far better.
Yes. Yes.
The picture has been painted.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Actually, everything gets
done better
because there's no ego looking for my and how will this be received, and all of that dialogue stops. All of that dialogue stops.
So is this a little bit about like the Zen archer who becomes the bow, the arrow, and the target. And the arrow is shot to the target.
Okay. I'm not up to speed on any... It's
a bit like the saying, there isn't an archer trying to reach the target. They're all one, and that's it.
Yes, and if all is one, that's one too many. There isn't even one. All is one is rubbish. Because who says one? Who says one? Something else must say that's one. We've already got two. To have one, we've got two. There isn't even one. One is one too many. The mind can do all is one, but I'm saying, before that, come back. You know what I'm talking about, but you wouldn't be able to say it. And I can't describe it either. All I can do is say, come back. Do you see?
Yeah.
So that's just, everything just is.
Yes, everything just is.
Good, bad, indifferent, because it's only good, bad, or indifferent because we decided.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so in the world, we play with, you know, oh, let's be optimistic. And we play within the, you know, having positive thoughts and seeing the good side. And we do all that. And all of that is valid for a while. But if you're sitting in satsang, it's like, okay, unplug from all that. There's no right or wrong way to think. Thoughts just happen. They're like a smell wafting through. Do you know? The wind isn't bothered if it's carrying the smell of roses or dog poo. The wind doesn't care. It will just carry it and drop it and get diluted and that's it. And that's what we are. Do you know? The faculty of mind makes it I like, I dislike, and it gets burdensome. It gets kind of sticky and heavy because the likes and dislikes come in. Is there anybody feeling uncomfortable with what we're talking about? Okay.
I'm wondering, do you feel constantly calmly blissful, even when you're talking about the difficulties of other people's being the way they are? Do you always feel the same?
Yes.
And is it like a joy, like a warmth, or is it just nothing?
Okay, this is how I'd have to put it. It's nothing, and it's so much nothing, it's kind of the absence of nothing.
Mm-hmm. But does it feel delicious?
But from that is joy and peace. It's like a smell. That's the only way I can describe it. Mm-hmm. Coming out of that is just calm and rest and peace and... Yeah. That's coming out of that. Yeah. But it's a smell out of what I know is, which is nothing. The absence of nothing. Yeah. And it's called the natural state. And everybody's in it in deep sleep every night. Every night. That's what's going on. Every night when you're in deep sleep, that's what's happening. Mind is just in abeyance, you know. Mind is just not active. So thoughts aren't being believed. So we say spiritual practice is to stand back from your thoughts, be in that space of not believing your thoughts, of just seeing them. So you automatically get there when thoughts shut down because mind is asleep. Do you see? But in your waking state, we say observe your thoughts. So that there's a distance and you're not in the story of the thoughts. Because when you're in the story of the thoughts, this stuff is rubbish. This is like, what are you talking about? You're not in reality at all. Because you're in this, you're believing the movie. You're believing what your mind is telling you. This is so simple. It's so simple, you miss it. That's the thing. It's like it's underneath the thinking process, you know? It's like it's underneath it. Underneath the turbulence of stress and life and shoulds and shouldn'ts and all that's happening and all that I have to do and all that. Underneath all that, there's something still. Waiting for your attention. Maybe only your attention is there in deep sleep. Maybe it's in meditation. Maybe it's walking in nature. Maybe it's when you're creating artwork. Whatever. But the hunger for it increases. And that's what we call the spiritual path. So you can apply the striving, like Dennis was talking about. Oh, I have to work at this. You know, we can apply striving and work and effort to managing thoughts. Or just leave your attention underneath everything. Leave attention there and don't be too bothered by what happens. And you'll find that you'll still pick up the phone and you'll find that you'll make your appointments and you'll find that will still happen without you being caught in it as being so serious. Something will still take care of that functioning.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I have to go sort of in.
Should have gone.
Don't cut across your ground. That's good.
You were talking there to Adrian a moment ago about eating would just naturally happen, and you know, these physical processes are taken care of. Fine. So arising out of that, other physical processes like basic physical fear, for instance, like we say you're driving along in the car and all of a sudden there's a lorry coming around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a point at which we say that either the mind becomes so disengaged or the immersion in the continuum is so deep that fear simply doesn't arise, that, mm-hmm. you know, the lorry coming around, even if maybe it meant your physical death,
mm-hmm.
it would be the perfection of that moment would mm-hmm. completely outweigh the...
Mm-hmm.
The fear, as it were, the fear mm. of extinction. I mean, mm. is the fear of extinction purely a mind construct? Or
yes.
Is it, but the adrenaline, you know, the instinctive gut adrenaline reaction is
yes.
like quicker than you can think.
Yes. Yes. But, okay, there's a few layers to it.
Okay.
The bottom line is that there is nobody who notices there is fear or not fear.
Right.
So then it's difficult to say, well, would there be fear or would there not fear? It's like, well, it's yeah. not noticed because it's just naming of things doesn't happen so much.
Uh-huh.
Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
State of having fear, state of not having fear, it's... Mm.
It, so there's just a sensation, but it's not labelled.
It's not labelled.
Yeah.
Body would come in and protect the car or protect your body or whatever, and mm. the brake would go down. Mm. Is there fear? I don't know. I don't know. There's no sense of an eye feeling fear. That doesn't happen.
Mm.
But reaction happens. Some low grade level of mind continues to enable functioning to happen. But there's no sense of an eye feeling fear or I was in danger because, sure, if you die, where can you go anyway?
Mm.
There's nothing to die. You know, there are just thoughts too. It's no ownership.
Mm.
It's no ownership because there's no I to own. So then how can there be fear experienced by an I?
Mm.
It's funny, you know, there's a paradox in there, isn't there?
I don't know anything about you, right?
Yes.
So I don't know. Are you? Is it? You are in this state, is it? You're describing.
There's no I. There's no I.
So you lost the identification with the eye.
Yeah, the eye burns out. Eye burns out. Yeah.
But it's not a matter of making a decision, obviously. It's not
no.
to say, you know.
No, it happens.
It happens.
It happens
because you practice.
Well,
you're on your journey, or
yeah, it's
what.
Yeah.
Is that too personal now? I mean,
not at all. Well, sure, look, what's personal? There's no personal anything.
So, how did you get there?
Yeah. When there was an I running,
mm.
I thought I could do it. I thought my spiritual practice could do it. So I did what I felt I could do.
Mm-hmm.
Observed. Lots of meditation, silence. Long periods of silence. Weeks, like. So I was doing as much as I could. And then it all fell apart. Because one day, I can't get there. Where am I going to get? I'm just doing something. I'm just doing what I believe is a spiritual practice. How can I get someplace? I'm just doing it. It's going to continue. I'm going to continue doing it. I just saw that it was useless.
The practice?
Yeah. That no matter what I was practicing, where was it going to lead? It was just a practice. Do you see what I mean?
Was it a practice to lead you to liberation?
Oh, that's what I thought. That's what I believed. Yeah. That this lead. That's what spiritual goal is, isn't it? When I thought there was a goal, but then there was nothing else to do except do this. I had disconnected from everything in life just to do this because nothing else made sense except the goal of enlightenment.
Oh, I see.
And then I discovered that, well, everything I'm doing is actually just filling in time, actually. The doing it can't make it happen. I'm just doing it. I'm just like cycling nowhere. I'm cycling a bicycle that's in the gym.
Well, I mean, if you practice the disassociation from thought.
Yes.
You're going somewhere eventually, as in you gain a certain amount of distance, and maybe a couple of years later you gain more distance.
Yes.
And the same counts for your emotional reaction.
Yes.
Because you're aware of them and you know it's not you, it's just an emotion.
Okay. And the you who is experiencing that, those distances, who gets rid of that you?
Mm.
And that was the problem.
So in your essence there is nothing but space and...
Yes, but the I...
I'm not talking I now,
yeah.
But the perceiver, the observer, the witness of the thinking process.
Yes.
Mm.
That is an I, the one who is watching something. As long as it's named, mind is still doing the observing.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Okay? So there is no aspect of the human experience that can get rid of that. You can do as much as you can, and you've named the steps, absolutely. That's what can be done. But getting rid of the one who's doing that, it's grace. Or it's the flow of the universe. Or, I don't know, something swallows up the final bit. And that can't be earned. So looking back, yeah, I went so far. Did I have to go so far in order for grace to suck the last bit home? Who knows? Grace didn't need an I to do that much spiritual practice. Grace doesn't need anything. It's all grace. But separation stopped running as a thought. It's as simple as that. Separation stopped running as a thought. It wasn't believed anymore. Do you see? So in the phenomenal world where separation appears to be real, then we set this up as a goal simply because that's what we do all the time. We're aiming for. When I'm thinner and... Blah, it's everywhere, you know? It's everywhere. It will be better when...
Yeah.
When the kids are reared, or when it stops raining, or when it'll be better. It's just another thought process. It'll be better when there's no I.
But living in past or future experiences rather than...
Yeah, or just a thought running that something better is a possibility. Even that. That's the thought now. Something better is a possibility. But it's not. The thing is, this is as good as it gets. This is perfect as it is. That which says it's not is the problem.
That's true. Surely.
Do you see?
Sure.
Do you see? Yeah. So when the personal eye gets destroyed and that capacity to see the world and subject-object, when that gets destroyed... Generally, satsang is what happens then. That generally, that's what it is. The person does nothing, or wears the kids and does whatever's going on, or else they sit in satsang. That tends to be the flow. So come this form is here.
Do you feel useful?
Nothing needs changing at all. There is no purpose to anything. There's no I that feels anything. The truth that everything is working perfectly is so. But yet something moves through this body so that there is nothing except talking to people about the truth happening. The life that works through Jackie O'Keefe.
It's just like an imperative for it to occur. And that's just
the way. Absolutely. And that's just the way it is. Everything has been taken away except the work. The work. As if it's work. Mm-hmm. Everything has been taken away.
Joy.
Oh, it's all joyful. Yeah. Doesn't matter if I was drinking a pint or sitting in satsang or sitting in, you know, on a tree stump, chanting or It's completely, the activity is completely nothing to do with anything. So there's no I that feels of use, but in the phenomenal world, it looks like I'm helping people, perhaps. But sure, of course I'm not. There's absolutely exquisite perfection at all. What needs to be helped? Nothing. Nothing. This talking is happening, just like the cat is sitting on the window, you know, in the kitchen. That's happening too. Nothing is of more value than another. That's a faculty of mind bringing in judgment.
But for those who maybe aren't living in sort of a permanent presence or in the knowing state permanently all the time, they know it sometimes, whatever, they know it's a beneficial and our natural state to be within. They also know that it, well, they feel, they know, whatever, the knowing of it is there, that it is what we are meant to be, and our hope or our the imperative is that all of us should and will know this, that it will basically be us again as we are meant to be, as the whole entity of everything is meant to be. So, I mean, basically with no desire for it to be one way or the other and everything being perfect, there is a desire to bring this to people. You know, this group tonight, is you have been invited, so others may gather around you and maybe further feel or concrete what they already feel or have encouragement or... So it's interesting, it's sort of the unenlightened but wanting enlightenment people will want it, they will wish for it to be broadcast to more people. I mean, that's also the state of it, that is the way it's going to be. Yes, I don't quite know really what I'm agree.
Yes, but I suppose there are no individuals who are looking for something.
Yes.
That's just the play of energy moving through bodies. That's just how that is. There was no desire to come anywhere. My day is dictated by people asking me to do things. That's it. That's what... otherwise, nothing would happen. I swear, nothing would happen. I would pee and go back to bed. That's how it is. If there's no... if a desire doesn't come from the outside or a request doesn't come from the outside, nothing happens. I mean, nothing happens. So it's not motivated by a desire. It comes from another way. But sure, if it was motivated by a desire, it would be just the same anyway.
And how do you make decisions then if somebody asked you to come to different places?
Yeah, yeah.
So how do you weigh it up?
Yeah.
Is it beneficial? How
yes or no comes out of my mouth.
I see.
There's no...
whatever it feels at that moment.
It's just something comes out. It isn't even how does it feel or whatever. It's, and then sometimes it's like, I'm not sure, I'll have to see, you know. I'm not waiting for anything. Another day it'll be like, yeah, okay, we'll do that. Do you know? It's like... yeah. You're always kind of pretending that you're making a decision. Do you know? Yeah. You know, it's not really, but it's a bit like that. Yeah, it kind of looks like that, but that's not what's actually going on. But it's like this for everybody, except the I idea is on top of it, giving it a colour. That it's the same for everybody. There's nothing different in this form. There's just a thought of I that doesn't work anymore. That's all. So... be sure not to set it up as something to go for. Don't set it up. You're sticking it out up there as a goal. You are it already. The part of you that says, I know, but I have a road to travel, that's the problem. Don't believe that thought. Don't believe that thought. Stop running those thoughts. You are it already. There's no place to go.
What happens when your body dies?
Nothing much. It's like cutting your fingernails or cutting your hair, isn't it? You know, it's just something is just thrown aside, you know? Bundle of cells. Nothing. Nothing happens at all.
Will you be sitting here in another bundle of cells?
Who'd be the you who'd be doing that?
Will the spirit...
is there a spirit? That is an individual.
The essence.
But that's everything. That's everything. It's not divided into one.
If your body dies, what we might but you wouldn't. You becomes part of everything.
Is already.
Already.
That's right.
But will you be coming back?
No, it's not possible if there's no I.
Right. Thanks.
It's not possible. But yet the merging,
mm-hmm.
when the phenomenon of enlightenment takes place,
yes.
that's the death. That's the death. That's the breakup of the identity of an I.
Yeah.
That's the death. So that's gone back to the source. Will that come out again? Of course it will. It's all only a ball of energy anyway.
Yeah.
But nothing is lost or nothing is gained any which way. Your God or the absolute, whatever word or nothing, whatever the word is for you. Of that which is beyond this physical phenomena of creation, of the cosmos. That which is beyond, before and after the whole show, not involved in the movie. You're that, you always were, you always will be. It's just thoughts running through consciousness, doubled up with the thought that they are yours. That's all. That's all.
Was there maybe not some reason why we were given the mind that makes us, makes the I thought?
We were given the mind.
I don't know, but it
yeah.
exists, you know?
Yeah, yeah, play with it though. Do you see the catch, like?
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
But that it exists, it the same.
Does it exist? It appears to exist. Does it really exist?
Well, there's a state in the child's development where. You know, when I don't know what age they are, when they are around two or three, I don't know. And they would say, well, Surya is going to go over to that candle now instead of, you know, I'm going to. And then the eye appears, verbally even. The eye appears through our development. It's not, you know.
Yes.
It just happens.
Yes. Yes.
That's part of
our. Yes, the separation is getting solid. The
separation, exactly. And it needs to be.
Yes.
As in, need to separate from the mother and the father, etc.
Yes.
I need to come into my eye, and then we have a long journey to get rid of it.
That's right.
But because of the attachment and, you know, that we need something to be.
Yes.
That we need to be something else, you know, somebody.
Yes.
But that, I think, happens just.
Yes.
It's, you can hear it.
It's
audible.
Yes.
And it's
it is.
So why do we differentiate and become I if what we're trying to do is to go back to where we came from in the first place?
I guess because it's fun. I guess. Do you know? Because the whole thing is just a movie. Do you know? Leaving the idea that you left and the idea that you're going back when all the time you were never happened. Nothing ever happened. They were just ideas. And if you look in to see if there's any substance in thought, there isn't. There isn't. We can't catch a thought, you know. There's no substance in it. They're just passing through. But if you peel right back, as deep as understanding has lodged in this brain, it's almost like there seems to have been, there was the appearance of a vibration. And the echo of that vibration is this. This creation is the echo of a vibration. There's a delay in it. Now, before that, it's unknowable. It's unknowable. And actually, that's okay because there's peace. And it never happened. And it's clear that it never happened. Do you know? But going into concepts to explain it in some way... That's as much as I can pare it down to. That there was a vibration and the echo has an appearance. And it's taken as real. The appearance is incredibly convincing in order to pull off experience. Because if there's only God, how can there be anything that's there has to be two to experience something. Me that's having an experience. Me and the candle heat. Me feeling heat in contrast to this. It's all two. Do you know? So in order to pull off experience, we need the I. But there's nothing to be experienced. You're at all. And if you're everything that can be, you can't experience anything. So it seems to have something to do with experience. But nothing ever happened, actually. Really, nothing ever happened. Really. There's just an appearance of something happening. It is only an appearance. But mind doesn't like that one. Because you negate the existence of mind, and mind goes, oh no! You know? And yet functioning in the world will happen knowing that this is just a movie that's already shot and, you know. Yet functioning happens in this appearance, you know, but it just, there's nothing bothered by it. It's fine. It's just naturally unfolding, unpacking how it is. There's nobody bothered by it.
But it doesn't experience pleasure.
Not as a separate thing, no. Pleasure and pain both go. Yeah, pleasure and pain go, both go. The capacity to experience goes. That's probably the greatest block. That's probably the thing that keeps the I most alive, is the love to experience. The love, loving the idea of existing, you know.
And love for other beings.
It's actually all love. It's all love. It's all love. Do you know? The movement of what comes out of God and goes back to God. But it's all God. Okay, I'm catching myself all over the place. But that's the trouble with language. Language was created by mind, so language is too late in the process, you know? Yeah. So, but that's all we have, huh? So, love loves to love. Finding love, losing love, playing with love. But there's only love. So the play is about love. And if there's anything that creates the movement, it's love. Lack of love, looking for love, finding love. Mm-hmm. And while there's an I running, you think it's separate from yourself, of course, because it's all about something outside. You know, me experiencing and me finding and da-da. So we play with finding love outside. And we begin the spiritual journey and say, oh, I must love myself before I can love outside. It's like, yeah, and then you go out and find love out there, and all the while, actually, there is just love. There's just loving to love. Love loving to love. That's all, because love loves to love. It's all about love. Really, it's all about love. If the movement has any, I don't know, raison d'être, if there's any at all reason for being, it's love. But it doesn't. But it's just love. Love is a movement. So loving another, that capacity goes with the belief in separation. The ability to love one more than another goes. Yeah. There can't be any kind of special love. All that disappears. All goes.
So, procreation of the species.
Yeah. Some people do. It's not my path. Some people do. Some people do. Even beyond the eye, functioning will happen, and sex happens, and babies happen, and rearing happens, and it all happens. It happens. Just without the ownership, without the weight of I am doing this.
Well, that's why oftentimes people say, I just know from India, like, who have reached a certain state of enlightenment and dissociation from the I, and experience that love, go out and really live it, as in, you know, going into the countryside and helping people who haven't
Yes.
The basics, as in drilling wells, etc., yes. etc. Not to satisfy the eye and feel this was a good mm-hmm. day's work now, but from a totally different yes. level of existence. Yes. So that's why I was surprised when you said, well, if there wasn't something, I would stay in bed.
Yes.
And I just thought, well, I thought in that stage you would not stay in bed, but would actually do that. Not, I'm not talking about feeding the yes. black babies, as it was used to be called in Ireland. I'm not talking about that.
Sure.
Absolutely not. You know, a different sort of aid, but, you know, that you just work all the time for that, because of that love. You know, that, you know, ultimately I think that's, you know, that's where I feel our boundaries ideally would break down, and we would really feel love for everybody, you know, indiscriminately,
okay.
and show that by intake,
okay.
giving.
Okay.
And that's where a lot of, well, a few people I'm blessed to know have turned right around from having done all sorts of things in their life over a long, long, long time, and then going out, and that's it, they dissolve in
yes.
giving yes. all the time.
Yes, yes. But that's how you see it.
Yeah.
Yes, that's how you see it.
Sure.
Well, but for them, do they see that they're giving?
I don't know. I mean, sure, yeah. they know that they're not giving from the eye, though. That I know.
Okay.
Because I know them for long enough.
Okay. So then the perception that there is people who need help, yeah. that also goes.
Oh, no.
Ah, then there is an eye.
Well, I don't care if there's an eye. I can happily hold on to that. If that's the eye, I will be left with at some point.
Okay.
Maybe a couple of reincarnations or something. But, you know, because otherwise, what's, you know, would I just do nothing anymore?
But it
I'm not there. Would
okay.
it not be
okay, I have enough. I have enough. The universe will move through you, as it always did.
Yes,
whether it's through service 110% of the time yes. or not, there's nothing you can do about it. Because there's no I. Do you see what I mean?
Well, I don't know. Sorry.
You see? So what I'm talking about is, if there's no I, the universe does. But somehow, I'm constantly in demand. Somehow that happens all of the time. There's always people looking for help. So that stuff, that service always happens. Sure, I'd stay in bed. My God, if there was a break from that, of course I'd stay in bed. But there isn't. There's constantly a demand.
Hmm.
There's no sense that I'm giving. There's no I who's giving. It's just what's happening through this form. It's not even noted as happening. Do you know what I mean? Do you see? It's a subtle difference. Now, in the phenomenal world, wanting to be able to love to the extent that service would be your whole life. Is that what you're talking about? You were saying if...
Yeah, but not in the mission sense. Now, I can't describe this very well. No.
Okay.
Not quite with that, but...
selfless
really
giving.
We're talking from the heart.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
as in, and not...
Okay, it's okay. If you set that up as a goal, then fine, but...
I'm just...
Even as something you admire, even drop that. Because to run it as a thought will keep you in ego, in mind. To run it as something that's admirable. Yes.
Achievable
or not achievable. To set it up as a goal or a good way of living.
No, I'm not.
Don't even set it up like that.
No, I'm not doing that.
Okay.
No. But just, you know, that's what I have come across a good few times, that people go right through the spiritual process and then that's where they are then. Just
the ones you see are giving.
Yeah.
The ones that you don't see might be in bed all day. And, you know? Do you know?
That's
they're just more visible.
I always wondered why.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, sure, you know? Because if the universe moves through your form, an energy moves through your form, there's no agenda of, oh, it's better to help. It's not good to stay in bed. All of that stops. So what to do? Whatever moves through the body is going to move through your body.
Mm.
Do you see? So if something didn't move through my body, and in this form it happens to be responding to what comes in, Do you see? That's how it works for heat for this form. It's responding to what comes in because there's no faculty that says, oh, they need help. It's all God. Nothing needs help. But yet here I am in Mayo. You know, preference running to be in India, but it's not happening. Do you know? Do you see? There's a mild preference, but it's never strong enough for a desire, so there's no capability to act on it. But there's a preference for India, yeah. A decision in ashram in silence. There's a preference. But it's not any stronger than that.
Do you think there'll ever be a time when people won't need help?
Nobody needs help. See, that's the flip side of it, isn't it? Nobody needs help. It's only God. There's only God. Mm-hmm. And while the identity is running, there must be a desire to experience. And that desire, when the desire to experience spins out, the sufferer will die also. The desire to experience keeps the mind and the ego alive. The desire to experience. Now, embedded in that is pleasure, pain, good, bad, nice, ugly. The opposites, you see, the pleasure, pain, the suffering and the bliss are packaged up as part of experiencing. And when you arrive at the point of seeing that the good isn't good enough, and actually it's all about suffering because the good isn't good enough, mm-hmm. then they call that a maturing of the mind, whereby you're like, I want more. Actually, experiencing in the world is not enough. Now, there's nothing anybody can do to make the mind mature faster, because somebody has to cop themselves that experiencing doesn't do it anymore for me. Do you see? That has to arrive at it. It's an inner knowing of feeling that the world is lovely and all of it, but, you know, it's not enough. Now something can happen. Now a looking inside begins. But prior to that, there can be temporary ease of suffering. Do you see? There's a few levels of it. Will people always need help? There will always be help needed for people who are not finished experiencing. Because it's all about me. I'm suffering. It's my pain. It's my misfortune and my hell. And my is the problem. It's not the outside. It's the my. But until that click comes, there'll be temporary solutions, but no more. The ego will present the next trauma, the next trauma, the next trauma. That's how it works.
How did you say before you have a preference to be in India rather than here?
Mm.
Is it that you feel the cause of the vibration that is the manifestation of what all this is to the appearance? It's the essence of it is stronger, or if there is less to experience, you find in from one place to another that you are more able, or it is more profound a feeling?
No, it's funny. That's a good question. It's not that. Because what I am, as in what we all are, is constant and unchanging and can't be topped up or more concentrated or more focused.
Exactly.
It never changes.
Right.
It's always
so
as is. It's like tea over coffee.
Okay.
Sunshine over rain. It's just like a... Do you know? But it's not. It's just like, whoa. It's like this nebulous kind of passing by thing. Yeah.
And it doesn't relate to experience at all.
It doesn't. It doesn't seem to be connected in that way. But it's more connected to memory more than anything. It's like, whoa. Oh yeah. There's that running. Would there be a sense of being happier in India? No. Do you know what I mean? It's not that I'm happier, but there's a preference.
Mm-hmm.
There's a, like, you know, I don't know if the universe just popped a ticket to any place, you know.
Do you think it's kind of the last vestiges of what it once was to be within experience?
Perhaps. Yeah, perhaps.
And your, sorry, this question before, but I mean, was it dramatic? Was it like a sort of a peak experience? You suddenly realised, Jesus, I've been doing all this stuff for ages and ages.
Yeah. There were three peak experiences, really. There was three big meltdowns and lots of other little bits of spiritual pops, eurekas, you know.
And did it manifest as a sort of a mental breakdown to others around?
Yeah, the third one yeah. was 6 days of, I lost 6 days.
Okay.
And I couldn't do anything. No, somebody had to take care of me and bring me to food and bring me back to the room. And
were you in a good state within yourself whilst that was happening?
I can't remember.
Right.
But it's gone. Oh, yeah, it's gone.
Do you reference back to it at any stage ever?
No. Okay. No. But it seemed afterwards the capacity to see the subject object had gone.
Did you constantly test it and think, Jesus, have I really lost this? Or
no, it was like, what are people doing? Why are they naming that? Why? And then thinking, oh my God, look, I can't do it anymore. I can see what they're doing, but how do they do that? How do they name good, bad? How? God, no analysis, nothing.
Mm.
Nothing going on, like nothing going on.
And so clear that is why their pain is.
Yes, but it took some time for me to see that the state that I had been in 2 weeks before, it was gone. So the faculty was gone. I couldn't even remember what it was like until watching other people and think, oh, yeah.
Do you think it's necessary for it to occur that way?
No, it's different for everybody.
It can happen calmly and still.
Yes.
And as just as
easily. Yes. Yes. No two are the same. No two are the same. That's why it's unpredictable. Will spiritual practice get you there? Try it and see. It's going to spin out and it's going to spin out, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, you know, sort of reading, I don't know, The Power of Now or something, you know, you're on a page and it's page, 93. And it's just, it's almost like you just decide from one moment to the other, as he says, to step back into the Garden of Eden. It's like there isn't a gate, you're there.
Yes, yes.
But that's a decision. And again, it's the mind. It's just like basically it's a decision of being.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that. You kind of just let it drop. Or
is the decision yours?
Throw it all in.
Is the decision yours? Who makes the decision?
It's just the decision.
Okay.
It's the being of it all. It's
okay.
It's meant to be.
So let's say there's no decision. Let's say even that there isn't that gap.
Yes.
There is the natural state.
Mm-hmm.
And ideas passing through, perhaps. The appearance of ideas.
Because
they're not even solid enough to call them thoughts.
Mm.
There's the appearance of ideas. So what?
Mm.
So what? The natural state is there all the time. But if there's a you who wants to get into the natural state, then believing that the you has someplace to go is the problem.
Mm.
That's the problem. The natural state is sitting there.
Mm. Do you feel your natural state ever being diminished by anything?
Not at all.
People challenging it so much? No,
it's not involved in this appearance.
Mm-hmm.
What you are is not in the movie. It's not even watching the movie. It doesn't even know the movie happens.
And do you feel positive and negative energies around you? Or is all that gone as well?
They're not noted that much.
Right.
There's
again,
never...
it's like things pass.
Yeah, things
like,
pass.
Oh, that's a bit murky. Or
that's wild, right. That's right. Oh, I've stepped in a puddle. It's okay. It's more like that.
Okay.
There's never a sense... Oh, I remember I was in Aldi about 2 weeks ago and my body ran out. I said, wow, that didn't happen for years. Oh, my God. Do you know? And I said, okay, what's going to happen now? And I went into the car and I said, okay, that's the end of that. But I don't know what happened. My body just ran out.
Uh-huh.
You know, so for sure, my body doesn't do anything without mind managing it.
Mm-hmm.
So something happened somewhere and I left. I have no idea. I have no other clarity in it. That's the only time that I've noticed.
So did you say Aldi?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, the store, like.
Right.
Yeah.
Nirvana place.
Yeah. Aldi and Tala, actually.
Remember the books.
Yeah, that's the only time there was a whoa, you know, a moving, maybe like avoiding the truck, you know. It's kind of like that. You know? But no, there's... if something is noticed of like, whoa, you know, piece of energy, that's it. it doesn't influence an action. It doesn't seem to have that connection anymore. Something is noticed, it's that's the maximum power it would have, you know? Usually not even noted.
Obviously you don't sort of live within judgment terms of anybody else doing whatever they do, but when people are talking of energies or manifestations of it or other bodies that aren't...
Yes.
Do you know, how do you perceive of that, that basically there's a necessity for people to have to explain personifications of things, or that is all... That
it's in the movie. It's just energy moving through form, talking about other forms, naming other forms.
So it's language again.
Yeah, it's just thought manifesting ideas and talking about ideas, and it's all ideas. You know, a spirit or you know an energy or somebody who's passed away or working as a medium or a ghostbuster. It's all just like being stacking shelves in the supermarket. It's all in the phenomenal world. None is more esoteric or dense or profound, or
yes.
It's just the movie.
All is all.
It's all just the movie. Mm. It's just the movie.
How do you make choices? If somebody lines up half a dozen flavours of ice cream in front of you. Really? I mean...
Yeah. Practice them.
Would you look at them and feel, experience the sensation of taste, knowing the tastes, or is that all gone?
Yeah, it's gone, yeah.
So you wouldn't look at them and say, oh, that's a nice pink strawberry one. So.
There's no noting of what happens.
Yeah.
There'd be a pointing towards something. But there's no like, oh, rum and raisin, oh, that's delicious, oh, I'd like that. Or there's all those sequential thoughts don't happen. A decision appears to be made by something else. There aren't a sequence of thought which arises at a logical decision.
So do you feel the warmth of the sun in your skin?
It's more like everything happens.
And the wind happens, therefore.
Yeah, if I'm with somebody and there's talking, there tends to be more noticing. Because they're saying, isn't it a lovely day? And something engages and said, oh. And like perception switches on. Yeah, it's a beautiful day. Do you know? But if I'm not with people, no, nothing is noticed. Nothing is noticed. So it makes no difference if I'm walking in the woods or if I'm...
And from the other end, if somebody tells you a genuinely really funny story,
yeah,
does it make you laugh?
Yes.
Good.
Yes. Yeah. Communication, talk. So the people talking tends something seems to respond.
Yes.
To people talking, there's a capacity to engage. Like now,
yeah.
There's a capacity to engage that kind of kicks in, but there's no sense that it's me. That there's an I behind it. And I know the capacity that's engaging from Adrian's body has no I either.
Yeah.
There might be a thought running that there is an I that's deciding to say what to say next, but that has nothing to do with what's going to be said next.
Yeah.
What are we going to say next? Because because I interrupted you. And all that can happen without an eye, you see? Even that dialogue, there's no eye.
I was thinking of the Tibetan monks who debate amongst each other.
Okay.
But since I don't speak Tibetan, I don't know what they say.
Yeah.
So could you learn another language if you wish to?
Gosh.
Then would you wish to?
No, I wouldn't wish to.
Then there would be a you.
Yeah, that's right. The desire wouldn't be there, but if it happened, it would happen.
So if something comes up that it's necessary for your body to do it, your body does it.
Yes.
And you might or might not even comment on it.
There's no noting. There's no noting. Noting only seems to happen when dialogue is happening with another.
Do you read a book?
You know, I've started to read of late. Yeah.
What do you read?
Rubbish. Rubbish. And I never read. I'm never a reader. I'm not read at all. Like. And rubbish, total trash.
I was going to say, you observe yourself reading, but if there's no you to observe yourself.
That's right,
reading,
observing has stopped. Yes. All observation has stopped.
But the reading continues.
And the reading continues.
It sounds as though it's the natural state is timeless.
Yes.
Effectively.
Yes.
Because all of our concepts.
Yes.
Depend upon time.
Yes.
Don't they?
Yes. So yes, concepts are
feeling in that there's anywhere to go requires that there's some time to get there.
That's right.
Whereas as soon as we step out of time,
yes,
by definition,
the naturalness is there.
Yeah.
It's there.
Oh, yes, it's there all the time. You don't even have to step out of time.
No, but I mean, you know, well, I'm saying the head has to get out of time, you say, or the concept
sure,
of time.
Sure, sure. Just drop. Just be still.
Yeah.
It's always now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even now is just too much, but
just always
is.
Yes, it's more is, isn't it? Yeah. And it's so simple and so immediate, it's missed. That's why, because it's so easy, it's missed. That's the only reason I can come up with if there's a reason. But of course, there isn't a reason. It's just how it is, anyway. Huh?
In Galway, you were talking about anchors.
Yeah.
So. Even to think in terms of an anchor requires, again, it requires a duality.
Yes. Yes, just to fill people in. We were talking, I call an anchor like a mantra or a word or something to focus your attention on or to enable that middle ground. Because if you're identified with the story of me and my life and my pain or my desires or my whatever it is, it's very difficult to drop into the natural state because the story will pull you. If you're believing it to be your story, your life, your issue, it's very sticky. So it's like, okay, there's middle ground actually where you can observe it. And if it's like really active, well, yeah, there's a bloody pain in my knee. I can't observe the pain in my knee. It's the pain in my knee. So we're saying, okay, give your mind something to focus on. And then you're not focused on the pain in your knee. So in that way, we were introducing the idea of a mantra or an anchor, is what I was calling it, just to hold down the mind so that the mind isn't off in a story. So that's what I was saying. It was just a middle ground when identification is so strong that there's only the identification, the rest of it is baloney, that your life is real and the rest of it is crap. Do you know? And it's like, okay, now you're believing your thought. That's what's happening. And what's possible there is to have a place to focus your mind. But to go from the natural state from there is almost impossible for most. So that's what we were talking about. It was for that middle ground. But that doesn't seem to be arising here. People seem to like, whoa. We're just talking about the truth, you know, pointing to the truth. It's not, people aren't kind of, give me a halfway ground, you know. But in Galway, yeah, people were saying, I have something to do, you know. I'm in this and I have to do something. And it's like, actually, you don't. But if you think you do, okay, we'll give you something to do. If you want to keep the story going. Do you see?
You said it was like giving a dog a bone to chew on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Giving the mind something to do.
And there isn't really any pain in the physical body.
No. No.
So your body doesn't experience pain.
No, it doesn't happen to me. There isn't a me who's suffering because of it. Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's like, yeah, there's a pain. There's a pain at the moment now in this knee joint, you know? This body. This body's always been a bit of a wreck. But it's grand. It's like, it's only noted because we're talking about the physical body. It isn't noticed. It's not that it's denied.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't come into the realm of being observed as something not okay. Something that draws attention. It doesn't draw attention.
So physiological changes as a result of this.
Yes.
There can't be any stress.
No. But a stressful situation might appear like, a lot of people tell me I'm so intense, you know, but there's an intensity. There always was an intensity. Disappeared for a few years in the silence. But it's back, hey. but there's no sense of me being intense or me being caught in stress. There's no sense of my adrenals being under pressure.
So if a doctor tested your body's pulse rate and all that sort of thing, would it be very much different from what it was maybe 5 or 10 years
ago? I don't know that. I don't know
that.
You
have a blood pressure monitor.
I don't know that. Sometimes the body undergoes lots of changes and sometimes it doesn't. For different. Something happens to the brain, there's no question, but something happens to the brain. There's no question.
Would it be fair then to say, while we're talking about the knee, knees are a great old topic, particularly sitting cross-legged. It's like there are layers, let's put it this way. Sensations arise, then the mind says, ow, ooh, there's a pain. And then the next thing it says, I'm in pain, I'm suffering. So like when everything is simply what it is,
yes,
it's just a sensation.
Which is already a nerve ending going to the brain. Well, so already the mind is involved.
But it's inevitable within the physical body, the way it's constructed.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
It sticks its hand in the flesh.
Yes.
And before the mind is caught, the hand is withdrawn because there's a reflex.
That's right.
So the sensations are just the sensations.
Yes.
Whether it's the knee or the brain.
Yes.
Or anything arises.
Yes.
Like all the shit begins to happen.
Yes.
With the naming and the separation.
It's the naming.
The naming.
Because the brain is already involved with the sensation. Do you know what I mean? There is a low-grade level, the layer.
Well, the more or less, while the body is there has to be a low-grade.
That's
layer,
right.
Doesn't there?
There is a low-grade mind that continues. There is.
So, like, suffering.
It's the ownership.
Suffering is, like, way down the line.
Yes. So, suffering is the I. The I must exist in order to suffer, because then it's happened to me, and it's my knee, and it shouldn't be like this.
Yeah.
Because the I will always try to control.
Have you noticed, now, let's say... I can't remember your particular sort of number of years or whatever. So let's say 10 years ago.
Sure.
Have you noticed, for instance, that if there is music playing, that it is just a sensation as compared with, say, a time when music immediately involves a lot of identification.
Yes.
It's loaded with memory or association or pleasure or pain or whatever. Because something that seems to arise, which is, I suppose the problem then is when something else arises and says, hey, this isn't the way it used to be. Something is looking at it, so that's already kind of dualistic. But in my experience, what seems to happen is that there is, like, having been a musician, something has arisen whereby music is no longer, as it were, just music. There was a time when it was, and to hear music was to identify with it, to be lost into it and into those sounds, those tones. Now what seems to be there is that there's a sensation which is almost like separate from the music. It's like one almost has to re-engage to hear the music again. It's almost like something has been lost and has to be re-engaged.
Okay.
Almost deliberately as an embracing of the duality.
Mm.
Because it's like violins don't sound like violins
anymore. Yes, yes, yes.
You know, there's just this
noise. I totally know what you're talking about. Yeah, it's just noise. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Which is...
Yeah, I totally know what you're
talking
about.
When you then kick into the memory, well, all those years of playing music, this is a bar.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because it's just this noise.
Okay. Let it be noise. And let it go beyond noise. Yes, because there's an attachment to pleasure.
Absolutely.
Okay, drop it. Drop it. Drop it and let it be noise.
Mm.
Let music be noise. That's great. I've never heard somebody voice that before, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, I can tell you haven't been a musician.
Wanting to drop it. Because really, like, we just don't want to.
What about your sense of smell? Because smell bypasses the forebrain and goes straight into the limbic old brain, and that's why it's so powerful.
Mm.
Do you smell things?
Yes. Yes. And am much more drawn towards sniffing now than I ever have been. I wear perfume now. I never did in my life. I was like, I mean, cosmetics with no smell, nothing, nothing, nothing.
Yeah.
I never enjoyed smell. But yes, I go out of my way now to smell something. Is that why?
Hmm?
It's a different part of the brain.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It completely bypasses the forebrain that would judge something.
Wow.
And that's why it can be so incredibly powerful. Oh. Although human beings in general aren't aware of that. But that's why it is so powerful.
Yeah. I didn't like any smell at all, you know?
Yeah.
Gosh. Mm. So the preference went away and now... okay.
Well, it may have something to do with the whole physiology of this.
For sure.
Sure.
For sure.
Well, the physiological change of the brain, as you say, like the Jill Bolte-Taylor example,
Yeah.
Right, left hemisphere and bits closing off, and other synapses basically not needing to send messages anymore.
Yes.
So
that's it.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting too, I think maybe we talked a bit about this in Galway, but when you were talking earlier about the mind not being engaged in ways of perceiving. In particularly sight, it's now known that there are two completely independent nerve paths from the eye to the whatever bit of the brain it is that creates all this stuff out of the signals coming in. And certainly the experience of drawing, particularly something like life drawing, which, you know, there was 20 years of that in my kind of profession.
Yeah.
As soon as there was an attempt to draw in a kind of deliberate way, the whole feckin' thing went to hen in a hand basket.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as that aspect of the mind was dropped, the drawing happened by itself, and it is an absolutely characteristic experience of the thing going right, that the drawing kind of drew itself. That was the feeling. That there was no drawer, there was no act of drawing, and there wasn't even really, there wasn't a deliberate act of seeing. All of a sudden, the whole thing just connected up and did itself. And that is apparently now measurable. You know, there's a whole...
Okay.
So this whole business of kind of detaching from the mind in a way seems to be very, ultimately, a very physiological event.
Yes.
I mean, you know, we talk about spiritual paths and all of that kind of stuff. Well, effectively, you're kind of filling in time in a way, waiting for it to happen in its own time.
Yes.
When it's ready. Or,
yes.
Or when all the mental buzz is quieted down enough.
Yeah. In the meantime, stop engaging with thought.
Yeah.
There's a study of this, they call it the operating in the flow state. And one of the characteristics of it is the way time seems to disappear.
Yes.
And you suddenly realize 2 or 3 hours have gone past and
yes.
you wonder where they've gone to.
Yes.
And what you're doing is probably effortless.
Yes.
It's just, it is being done through you, so
yes.
to speak.
Yes. That's right. And every moment is like that. Something is being done through your form. Every moment is like that. It's not, oh, I'd love that. It's like, no. It's like that, except I'm doing it. I must make effort.
So do...
Long time talk.
I was going to ask you, do you... does it ever happen that a thought might occur that you could come out of this state?
No.
Once you're there...
Well, sure, it doesn't matter. If believing in thoughts happens, sure, so what? Nothing is lost, nothing is gained. So what?
And do you write this thing?
Do I write?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's another book coming. I've done.
It's sort of cooking.
Yeah, I don't know. There's just notes everywhere, you know? They just kind of come out. And it could probably end up as a book, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The but there's total indifference about whether it happens or doesn't happen. Or, do you know what I mean? There's no... It's just like happening. It's just like pushing my hair, you know?
So publisher saying to you, here's 100,000 and you must have a book finished by such and such a time.
It's
completely meaningless.
Totally immaterial. Yeah. It would mean nothing. Genuinely mean nothing.
So do you earn money? I mean, because there is actually...
It kind of comes. It kind of comes. Whatever is needed, there's enough there. Mm-hmm. A long time ago, the connection between my job and my salary broke. A long, like 15, 20 years ago, it broke. There was a sense of, oh, I'm doing my job and money appears. I kind of lost the sense of I was working for my salary. Do you know? Mm-hmm. That concept just broke. And it got more distanced after that. And now there seems to be no connection at all between what happens through this form and the money that comes in. I just seem to have enough. I seem to... Somebody has given me a car for a few months and I'm staying in other people's houses and, you know, and I'm, you know, my own home is being created right now. There's builders there at the moment and... It's all just kind of happening. There's no, oh, I have to have my own place to live. Oh, jeepers, I should buy a car. It's all like, I don't know. There's no sense of having to manage anything, mm-hmm. including my bank account. There's no sense of having to manage anything. Even if there wasn't any money there, I don't think I'd be bothered. If I don't eat, I don't eat. If I can't buy a new knickers, I can't buy a new knickers, you know? Like, so what, do you know? It's all like, so what, really? Do you know? It's not noted as bad or good, or I'd prefer this or that. Or...
So this is a step way beyond trusting the universe provides, so it always does, that you are the universe.
Yeah. I'm the universe. Yeah, I'm the universe, yeah. Yeah, that's a technique for the mind to play with, trusting the universe to provide. That's part of... Yeah. Manifesting your destiny or, you know, or fulfilling your desires. So that's part of the game.
So how helpful are religions in reaching this state?
I don't know. Nature might be better. Nature didn't get kind of laden with ego, you know?
It'd be more unhelpful.
Pardon?
Yeah.
More unhelpful.
Yeah. There was definitely a message protected in religions, you know? Kingdom of Heaven was within you, the truth will set you free. It's there in the Bible, it's there, you know? It's what I was reared with, so... Yeah, it's there, but it got laden with all kinds of stories and rubbish. And you know, I think nature is definitely better than religion. If we're looking for something to help, to remind you. It's like the echo of what you are is in the earth. It's like an echo of the stillness and the perfection and the beingness, maybe, you know. It's in nature. But it's an echo, you know.
May I ask you, one of the things that is really kind of special. Well, okay, we're going to use words here. One of the things that's really special about tonight, for instance, is that your background is the same as most of ours.
Yes.
You're not Indian.
Yes.
You're not even American.
Yes. yes, absolutely.
Nor are you Tony Parsons or one of the sort of, you know...
Yeah, no, I'm a farmer's daughter, you know?
You know, right. So was there, I'm now going to ask you a really good Irish question. Was there ever a point in the transition when your Catholic upbringing, which I presume you had? When the Catholic upbringing came galloping up and said, hey, Jackie, this is all a delusion of the bad guys or something. You're losing your marbles and you're being sucked off to...
Yes. You
the other place?
Yes. As well. Yes. Yes.
Did you have to kind of...
I had to go back into it.
You had to kind of go through...
Yes. Yes, I went back into it. I went back into Catholicism and going to Mass every day. It lasted about 4 months. I had to go back in with knowing what I knew then to really test it and see.
Mask, was this after the final?
No. No. It was,
because again, on your website, you mentioned, you know, when, as you describe it, like the third eye opened or whatever, you saw spirits of the departed or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I worked as a Ghostbuster, like. I mean,
did you?
Yeah, I did. And the reason is because it was the flakiest of the flakiest, because I was your pint-drinking Irish woman, do you know? And I was, like, converting, making atheists, whatever the term is, do you know? And I was there, like, with my, do you know? So, I mean, that's how grace works. It's like, listen now, you have to go down to earth, independent Irish woman. We'll give you the flakiest job ever. I had no option but to lose my self-image, my cred, I mean, people thought she has lost it. Like, this practically down to earth Irish woman who was going to fix the world. Do you know? Oh, yeah. So every extreme happens. So after all of that, when I was in the middle of the healing industry, because I got caught in that, because I thought that's what it was about. It was about healing. I was looking everywhere. And when I was caught in the healing industry and doing all that and doing energy work on people and da-da-da, when I was doing that, the pull towards, are you sure it's not in Catholicism? Are you sure? And I went back in then, at that time, for about 3 or 4 months, intensively. And then I left it and I became a Methodist for about, that lasted for 12 months. Yeah, in Bray, and joined the Methodist Church for a year. Yeah. So, and
my curiosity is, and it's pure curiosity.
Sure.
Is when the actual religious belief structure.
Yes.
Was finally falling away.
Yes.
Was there a little voice of doubt then that said, actually, what's happening is you're losing your marbles, and this is delusional?
No, because
was the dare I ask, was the sort of the love aspect of the beingness, was it that sort of carried you through, as it were? You know, I mean, something, obviously, there was a complete dissolution, a complete letting go.
Yes.
Something carried you through, presumably.
Yes.
That enabled you to...
Yes.
Just there, kiss goodbye to the religious structure.
Yes.
With all their duality and good and evil.
Yes. I going back in, like, to the, because I studied theology and I left an atheist, and then 10 years later my third eye opened, you see? So, I mean, I had studied it, trying to find out what's God anyway, what is God? Mm. And then discovered...
Where did you study theology?
Maynooth. Maynooth. I went, I did the theology degree in Maynooth. I'm a religion teacher.
But you did music as well.
Yeah, music and theology, yeah.
Degree. In Maynooth?
In Maynooth, yeah. You know the two-subject degree? Marion that's Doherty. How it was then. Pardon?
Is the name Marion Doherty?
I can't remember. Gosh, most of my memories are fried.
Yeah, it's irrelevant.
I don't know. Yeah, but, okay, so there was that, you know? Okay, studying theology. And then leaving the whole lot and third eye opening. And then,
Sorry, what do you mean by that term?
Which?
Third eye opening.
Developing a sixth sense, being able to see chakras, being able to see auras, being able to see the non-physical. So in that phase, I had to then go back, knowing what I knew, to see about, is it in religion? So okay, Catholicism was out of the way, and I tried the Methodism. I said, God, maybe it's just the Catholics got it wrong. I'll try another Christian church, because there's something in this Jesus fella, you know? There's something in that. And when I got rid of the religions, I was totally done. I mean, there was no question at all, but religion was just a man-made control mechanism placed on top of something that had lost its substance. So there was never a kickback. There was never anything from religion that could talk anymore. You know what I mean? I went in there and really tested it and thought, actually, that's absolutely not it. I totally tested it. Do you know? So it was totally gone when I left it. It had no residue of a threat.
Mm-hmm. What happened when your third eye opened, Jackie? How did it happen?
I was I was having a pint of Heineken, a can of Heineken, yeah, on a Sunday afternoon with some friends. And I put my head up in the air, just to, you have to drink it, and put my head up in the air, and I saw spirits all over the place. And I thought, somebody's, this is like acid. This is like, that was the comparison, because I tried drugs too to find everything, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, I'm tripping. Who's giving me something? Lads, this is not funny. I said, so what are you talking about? Sunday afternoon, you know. And I said, but you look, can't you see them? Like, okay, Dad, somebody's giving me something. I'm losing my marbles here. Come on. What? This isn't funny. So they ended up saying, what are you talking about? Like, not funny. Like, why would we give you something? I mean, we're all going to get wasted. We'll all get wasted together. And it wouldn't leave. It wouldn't leave at all. It was torturous. I was physically being pushed around the place. And what it was fear was up. Fear was manifesting as this story. The non-physical became, it was fear. It was absolutely fear. There was no, I can't, like the thing was like, I can't commit suicide because these feckers are dead and they're torturing me. So I've no way out here. What am I going to do? And a week later, a spirit, this guy that I spoke about in the kitchen, exactly a week later, the spirit said, I'm here to answer everything you want to know. Everything you want to know, I'll tell you. Everything. Do you know? But he was a spirit too. And I was like, this is nuts. And at that point, I was given the option of, do you want this to close down? Or do you, I'm sure it's too interesting. I couldn't close it down. This was way too wild. I was intrigued. You know, I thought, God, if I can handle this, here's a new challenge. I was delighted with it in another way, knowing that this will either make me or break me, but it's worth the chance. So I decided, okay, let's go for it. Let my life change totally. Let it go. Let's see what happens. You know?
And what happens now?
I there came a point when there was too much information, like, yes, exactly. There was too much information. That's what you get from,
yes,
listening to animals and listening to dead people and living people. And so I just said, that's it, that's the end of it. And that was part of me going in, mm-hmm, because it was pulling me out, because it was really interesting in the beginning. Mm. I was out there talking to everything, you know, taking messages to everybody, you know. I know the going in, that was of no interest. This was more interesting, what was inside. So I just switched off and I'm not interested anymore. It's just more phenomena. It's more rubbish. It's just in the movie. And that was the attitude when I switched it off. But all that was happening was I was going in. I thought I did something, you know. But the inward focus was getting stronger and stronger. That pull was into where it's still.
So before this opening of the third eye, you hadn't had a background of meditation or any of that kind of
stuff? No, but I had been in therapy for 8 years. I had been going to a psychotherapist for 8 years because I had a rough upbringing, and I knew I didn't see the world in a clear way. That's what I knew. And I was 19 and I thought, I just don't seem to see it as clearly. I just don't seem to have the same way of seeing the world as other people, and it's because of the suffering as a child. So I went to a therapist and I stayed doing it every week for 8 years. So at that point, I had a lot of the conditioning unpacked. There was a lot of ability to observe and a huge ability to analyze to death, which of course had to be undone too. Mm. That just kind of disappeared, you know? Yeah. So that's what I had done. I'd done a lot of therapy, nothing else. And then bam. Yeah.
Do you have any form of practice now, or do you just sit or lie, or how do you prefer to be? Anything?
No, there's no...
Anyway.
No, there's no preference, it seems. Mm. One thing that's exhausting is if I find myself in company all the time.
Yes. You have to kind of refuel, yeah.
There's a pulling away from company. There's a pulling away from company. But yet I'm living in other people's houses since I came home from India, since like middle of February. So I'm never alone. but so I can't even follow it. Do you know what I mean? But there's if I go into my bedroom and close the door, it's like, that's as much of a hint of a practice that's left. Sometimes chanting happens, but whatever. There's no sense of a practice. There's nothing that could be gained from a practice. It's there all the time, you see.
Do dreams happen?
Not a lot. Very rarely. Very rarely. Much and they used sleep? To happen all the time.
Sleep?
Not a lot. Not a lot.
And does awareness continue through the sleep?
Almost always. There's something which watches. There's
something.
Sleeping.
So yeah. The dreams aren't the subconscious dreams that we know. They're the visions of truth that basically they are while sleeping.
It's more that there's not really dreams. There's nothing going on. Do you know? If there's sleep, there's something watching this body sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's an observation, oh, there's a dream going on. That's it. But I don't know what the dream is, do you know?
Yeah.
I suppose there could be no visions of truth because it can't be seen. It is. Yeah, it's an idea if you can see it. If you can see God, it's just your head. It's just your mind. There's no two. It's still and unchanging and...
Mm-hmm.
So then there's nothing to report from it, you know. Maybe that's why there's no dreams. I don't know, actually.
Mm.
I don't know.
Well, basically, yeah, there's no division anymore, so there isn't any need for the mind to play through these things.
Ah, this, that would make sense. That's right. That's right. I have about 2 dreams a year kind of thing, you know. Yeah. It's very rare. But be sure not to set up the stories of what happened to the Jackie who thought she was alive, had a life, do you know? Don't set it up. It's just stories. It's just rubbish. It's just fiction, you know. It means nothing, you know. It's you are God, and there's only God, and that's the bottom line, you know. And so, not going out to identify with the thought, then you're there.
So, if you meet another person in the same state as you, you don't talk to each other.
I don't think to be noted because.
That would be the ego identifying and saying, oh, hey,
there's only God. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. You're back in the phenomenal world if there's somebody else who has attained and all that jargon. Do you see? It's just all God, you know. So if you think there's something you have to do, just drop the thought and stay. But this isn't it. That's the thought. Stay. There is nothing which says, this is the natural state. This is bliss. There's nothing that says that. It just is. But mind says, oh, it's boring. No. Drop. That's just another thought. Drop. But yet in what is, there is no striving, no yearning, no need of any sort. There's a fulfillment or a closure, or I don't know. There are kind of words to point. You know? And that's what you are. And it's there all the time under everything. But mind is so active, it's going to judge it. But mind can't even see it. Mind is just giving you another thought to take your attention. It's what you are. You can't experience it. It's what you are. Oh gosh. If you want something to do, you might have to laugh at life, because the whole thing is a bit of a joke, really. It's amazing how it's taken seriously. It's really amazing. But sure, that's the play. Try not taking it seriously and it'll happen just fine.
I think the only place that I have a problem with getting my head around it is in relation to my children.
Oh, yes.
Because you have a natural... Yeah, something comes from nature, I suppose, that wants to protect your children.
Yes.
Looking at nature.
Yes.
So you can't just be. You have to act. To protect them or to...
They're not exclusive. They're not exclusive. The being acts. The thing with children is attachment. Not to be attached to them. What, wanting the best for them, even that is an attachment. Yeah. Let the doing and the loving come from beingness, you know, if we go on the line of being doesn't mean not doing. Your body will do and care and hold them and hug them and feed them and love them and put their coat on.
That
will all just happen. But don't be the one who's doing it, who feels responsible. Let it flow through you with more effortless. Do you know? Let it flow through you without all the thoughts of the fears and that I must protect them from. Just disengage with those thoughts because they're attached. They're about attachment to your relationship as a mom. Mm-hmm. Do you see? Caring and loving for children is what's natural. That will happen. But the attachment to the role and you being the one who is responsible, that's the ego burden that's on top of it. That makes sense.
It does.
It's a tough one, isn't it?
Yes. 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 Yeah, you have to untrain your brain a bit. Yeah, yeah. Because it's in your face. They're so immediate. The reactions are going to come up, you know?
When you see that they're in a situation that could be dangerous.
Yes, it will automatically happen. It will automatically intervene. It will happen. The nurturing aspect will come in and protect. But without the weight of, oh, this is terrible, what could have happened? Stop all the dialogue. Stop all the dialogue.
Is that not suppression to say, stop, 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 stop?
But it's not suppression. It's already gone out into something. So the ego has already activated, or the mind has already activated a thought, which is, I am doing this, or I'm responsible, or I must take care. So that thought has already gone out. For a while, you need to kind of stop feeding the thought. The natural state is that thought doesn't arise and the loving happens without the I burden on top.
No, I'm not talking I. You know,
There's no suppression in this.
Like me, okay?
Yeah.
First step is I'm becoming aware of that there are thoughts cruising through my mind. That can be an awful shock to the system.
Sure.
About the amount and the stuff going on. So next thing is I'm watching this. Right, yes. Here we go. Movie time.
Okay.
The top 10.
Yeah.
Ones which are reoccurring.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera. And so in that way, if you work long enough with it, you can see it. You see the movie. You see yourself in the movie, so you have the chance of stepping out of the movie. You can observe the situation, yourself in the situation, while you're observing at the same time.
Okay.
And that needs to be trained. It doesn't happen. But if I say stop, stop, stop thought, stop. Where I come from, that would be highly dangerous because if you do that to the mind, because it's so powerful, it comes out, you get a
But it's not about stopping the thought. It's not, the thought doesn't need to be stopped. It's owning the thought.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but that's, I'm not talking about owning.
No, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying stop the thought. Don't let it be yours.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
What's beyond that then?
The thoughts are fine.
Yeah, so if we have reached the stage of, I know they're not my thoughts, so what's okay. next? Where do you go from there? Where would you go from there?
Okay, then if you know they're not your thoughts, yeah. and thoughts happen and it's not a problem, and responses happen, but there's not I who's fixing that's the kids. Right. Okay, that's because there's no suppression in this. If there's suppression, it's absolutely dysfunctional, like,
yeah.
leads to trouble. It's not, yeah. Okay, so if they're not your thoughts, the one who owned the thoughts, the energy of owning the thoughts gets dissolved. That's enlightenment. It's as simple as that. The owner is what gets pulled back. The owner is the ego.
Yes.
And if it's not used, it gets destroyed. It gets pulled back into source. Just the energy goes back into the earth or something, or someone. Mm. And then there is no personal I. And living just happens without the burden of me. And it's as simple as that.
That crossroads door can make decisions, or it can make decisions within me. As in, I can have a blue bag or a red bag. I just see the red bag now. That's why, the bag, okay? But I mean, let's go beyond the bag. Like,
sure.
Decisions in life, as in ways, you know, to develop or actions to take with your children, for your children or not for them, if it, I see something dangerous is going on. So I have a choice to either say, oh, something will happen, or I, you know, if it's, I might have the choice of saying, okay, I could do, or it could do, or whatever. I mean, this is just a verbal.
Sure, thing. Sure.
I don't mind calling it I.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah.
There's a choice. There are always crossroads, and there I can make a choice, or it can make a choice within me.
Can it?
Well, yeah, I either go to Connemara or I go up to Sligo.
Okay, if there's no owner of thoughts, can there be an owner of a decision?
Well, I'm driving the car.
Yes, can there be an owner of a decision? Let's do it at concept level before we get practical. If there's no owner of thought, can there be an owner of a decision, of choice?
But try me the other way around. That's too...
Okay, yeah, yeah, it's a concept.
Yeah.
Okay. When the person... Okay, decision is made...
By?
By universe. Okay, let's say decision is made by universe, that it's not you, that it looks like it's you, but decision is made from someplace.
But that's
now, awesome. Peel back from that too. There isn't even decision made. There wasn't even options. Mind sees options because it looks at option one, option two, I see difference and I see consequences, and all of that is just in the head.
You're just being one way or the other.
Pardon?
You're just being one way or the other.
Yes. Yes. And what is going to flow through can only flow through depending on the up-to-date conditioning that's running in mind at that moment. Because you will only choose, I can go to Connemara or I can go to Donegal. Okay, these are your two options, it looks like. The up-to-date criteria that's running in the bundle of thoughts at that moment is going to choose Connemara or Donegal. But it's not you.
Oh, yeah.
It's not you.
Yeah, but that's just language, isn't it?
It's not. No, it's not. It's not. It's not. No, it's not just language. Because there isn't even a decision made. It's actually only going to go one way. Mind can take it that something that's not me makes a decision, that actually I don't have free will, that too is a concept, that I have a choice. Right? I'm just peeling back all the layers of mind. Come right back to basics, there is always only one thing that's going to happen. The idea of choice is mind. It's a very convincing one, that we have free will. There is no such thing as free will, and there's no such thing as
now,
us.
Let's go back to the kids. There's a dangerous situation I can see as a parent, say if I have small kids.
Yeah.
I can either decide to act or not to act.
Yes.
So
neither of them really matter. Like, it's all the same, isn't it, really?
Yeah, there is no I to do it. But if we believe there is an I, then it looks like that will happen. But there is no I, and in knowing there is no I, there is only one thing that will happen, and it will always be the more loving thing. But mind can superimpose the idea that I, as the adult, viewing separation from these children, viewing the role of being responsible, then must choose the highest good. If I'm being a good parent, that's a whole load of thoughts on top, which will arrive you at doing the very same thing as if none of that thought process was going on. In knowing that you don't exist and that there's no such thing as free will, same thing will happen. But there's a weight in believing we're responsible and we must do the right thing, and then the suffering because of the consequences. All of that can be thrown out. We can't pick and choose, because it's all based on the idea that you exist as an individual. So that's the thing to go for. It's mad, isn't it? Do you know, it's like, whoa, head warm.
So we let go and trust.
That's something for the mind to do.
Yeah.
Let awareness and the stillness and see what happens. See what happens. You'll do less. You'll do what needs to be done. That will move through your body and do it. Do you know? Like, you'll always get up for pee in the middle of the night, whether or not you remembered that you got out of bed or not. But you'll still do it. You won't pee in the bed. Do you know what I mean? It's like that. Something natural takes care of what needs to be taken care of. Do you see? So, yeah, you can practice with trust. You can practice with that. But that's something for your mind to do. That's a technique. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay, it's just 2 hours and 5 minutes. So what we'll do is, if you'd like to come back in the morning, we'll give it another frying. But this evening, just observe, you know, just observe. You'd probably be mad for a glass of wine. But just observe, because something happens, the ego in satsang. Something happens. It just gets challenged, you know? So just observe. Let questions arise, bring them in the morning. But very often...
10:30.
Happens 10, perfect. Okay. 10:30. See what happens. Nothing to work out, you know? Just let living happen this evening. Just let living happen. Let's see what we have to say in the morning, huh? Okay, thank you for your time.
I won't be here.
Ah, okay.
Nice to meet you.
Yes, and you.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, sir, yeah. Okay, no problem. Of course. Whatever. Yeah, yeah.